are back with another Good Work Show, and it's good to be back again.
It is. I'm ready to get hyped.
Yes, we're going to get hyped today because the organization that we have is hype. It's Hope for Youth, Inc., but AKA Hype. And we have the founder on today, Christina Newton, who is going to talk to us about the organization. It's all about girls, young girls, particularly girls of color, and getting them connected to technology and careers and workforce development, which is all great. I'm excited to talk to her and hear about how she founded the organization and what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I liked math. I mean, I was pretty good at math all the way. I was just not interested in it as a career per se.
Oh, no, so not at all. But yeah, I was pretty good at math too. AP calculus. I just like to put that out there. If you ask me what calculus is today, I couldn't tell you, but in high school,
I was very disinterested in AP calculus. I didn't need the credits to graduate. I just took the class because my friends were in it. I just wasn't interested in the class, but I did get an A in AP physics, which I felt like by the time I took calculus my senior year, I just was no longer interested in participating in what it actually took to, I mean, I passed, but I wasn't, it was like a non-issue at that point. I'm like, I'm going to graduate either way, so I don't really care.
I just don't remember. I remember being in the class. I just don't remember what calculus was all about. Good news is I don't want no one to remind me.
I mean, that's the thing.
I have no desire to remember what calculus was about. Now, actually, I will say, during the time, I didn't like physics, but now that I, for a whole other set of reasons, that now I can become a nurse, I can become a physicist, a kinesiologist. I'm going through a fitness certification that literally has some physics in it, some human movement, so, you know, kinesiology in it. It's got anything you can think of. So all of the anatomy stuff, and I was telling my daughter about some of the stuff I was learning. She's like, you might as well just go on to be a nurse now. I have to know all the muscles and bones and everything else, some of which I knew, but not to the detail that I have to know them now. And so,
but see, here's the thing. If you were a nurse, you would have to retain the depth of that knowledge past taking this.
I don't think
we need to unleash that on the world. So I think you are in the right way.
I'm going to remember some of it. Now, I will say.
But I'm saying.
This is
a nurse cannot remember some of it. A nurse has to remember all.
Well, that is true. First of all, I don't want to help people in that way. I want to help them with fitness part. So I'm on more of the preventative maintenance part, not the let me help you once you got there. Once you got past what I can help you with on the fitness side, I need to refer you to allied health professional who can do what they need to do, because that's not me. But here's the trivia that I've been, and you know, so stuff when you tell people about it, certain stuff sticks. So it was very interesting to me that I learned how much blood we have in our body. So how much blood, so if you were going to fill up a 2 liter of soda, how much blood do you think is in the average person? How many 2 liters could you do?
4.
That's a good guess. It's actually between 4 and 6 liters. So it's actually 2 or 3 2 liters. Which I thought was kind of low. I was like, that's really not that much blood. I didn't really think that.
Doesn't sound like a lot. If when you give blood, you give a pint.
A whole pint. I was like, well, that's a lot of.
That's a lot. That's like an eighth of your total blood supply.
Exactly.
And see, that's the kind of math that, but see here, that's the kind of math I'm good at. Like,
like measuring cup math, because that
okay, so if there's a pint and there's two pints and like that kind of stuff, or actually that math wasn't right.
Because you make good cakes. That's why you know that. I'm really good.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, I think you do, if you cook and you cook from recipes or you bake, that's true. I think you do learn math that way. And then also, now you should be good at the shopping math of percentages, tax.
To a certain extent. Here's the thing. I can calculate in my mind how much I need to... I'm like, this is good value, this is not good value. Now, my daughter, she's good. She can calculate tax down to the cent. And she's like, hold on, they didn't give you enough pennies back. Like, she's that, but she also worked at a bank and was a cashier for a long time.
So that makes sense.
She's got that down. I can do time in my head. Now, that's one thing I can do. Like, I don't know, there's something in my mind that if you tell me 30 seconds, I'm pretty much within.
But you're always late.
I said I could do it in my head. I didn't say I could do it in real life. And I know, and here's the deal. I can do it in my head. That doesn't mean I adhere to it. I know how late I am. I just
don't tell nobody you good at doing time.
I know how to tell it. That's different between knowing how to tell it and feel it than actually adhering to it. I don't run on time. I know how to run time.
That's even worse, because what's your television? Because there are some people that are like, I have no concept of time. So it's like, oh, is it 10 minutes?
My concept is great. I know how late I am.
So what I'm hearing you say is, when I am late, it's on purpose.
I won't say it's on purpose. It's known. It's a known fact. I know when I slide in here at 1:03 and I'm supposed to be here at 1:00. I know it's 1:03:26 when I sat down. However,
12:55, why didn't you realize it's 12:55?
I did realize it. I was doing something else. I didn't get finished with the thing I was doing to get to where I needed to be.
See, you didn't you didn't grow up in the household that, I mean, being late was just not an option in my house.
No, I mean, I'm not gonna say my parents weren't late, because I don't remember what they were doing, but all I know is I didn't pick up that I need to be, I'm on time for certain stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, but that's not my, so when I was-
Your standard operating procedure is about 5 minutes.
Well, I know.
It's not egregious. It's not like some people where you just have to count to say like they're going to be 30 minutes late. It's not egregious.
I mean, unless, and if I'm that late, you're going to know I'm that late. I'll tell you. I have respect. I just don't have respect for time. I have respect for you, but not time.
Right. That's fair.
That is.
Anyway, so we're going to talk today to Christina Newton.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And yes. It's
Hope for Youth. Hype.
And they learn about STEM careers. And I think Elaine already told you all this, but I'm just going to reiterate it because we're about to hear from her now. But really talking about how to not just get girls interested in STEM, because I think we've all heard the research that girls are interested in STEM careers. Girls like math, girls like technology, they're interested. But there is a point in time where either internal or external forces cause girls to pull away from those careers. And it's right around that middle school going into high school timeframe. So, you know, we're going to talk to Christina about this issue, and it's probably not the first time that a lot of you all have heard about it, but it'll be interesting to hear how she's helping to solve for that problem in her way. And then also specifically focusing on girls of color, which is, you know, the numbers are even more dire in that space. But that's why, you know, when we started this conversation where I was like, I mean, I don't dislike math. I was never interested. I did want to be a meteorologist, though, for a while.
It seems like that's a different.
It's a lot of math.
Well, I didn't do that much math in my meteorology class. I only took one. I did the intro class. Once I got past cumulus and strata, whatever those things, I was like, okay, that's
cool. When you actually get into the idea of like forecasting and.
Oh, yeah, no, we didn't get that.
All that kind of. Yeah, so, I mean, but that kind of stuff. But anyway.
I want to get your National Weather Service certification.
You know what? It wouldn't be what I have realized in my life. It wouldn't be the math that would trip me up on that. It would be the geography, because meteorologists can look at a map and see all them little counties and know exactly what they are. And I see squares. I don't know north, south, east, west. I cannot. My geography is terrible. So that would be my downfall.
And you have to know geography, not. It's actually geography, not looking at it, but looking at something else, because exactly. That whole brain screen thing is a beast. I will tell you, I did weather on my college newscast once, and that was good enough. they knew what the temperature was.
Right.
Now, that temperature was at, sorry, but they knew what it was.
It's 75 degrees somewhere. Right. It is 75 degrees. So I would suggest you look at your phone to determine if you are where it is 75 degrees.
Okay, you know what? That's why I couldn't do that job. So I'm like, y'all have the app. Download this app.
Download the app. Find out what the forecast is
wherever you go.
Yeah. I'm like, that's okay. Not the geography would definitely be my downfall. But these girls that are with Hope for Youth, they are not going to suffer from those stumbling blocks like I did. So we're going to come back in a second and hear from Christina.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. We are excited because we are being joined by Christina Newton, who is the founder for Hope for Youth, Inc. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So as a founder, we love to hear about how folks, the organizations that they started and their mission. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about Hope for Youth and the mission of the organization.
Yeah, so Hope for Youth, or HYPE, as we are kind of fondly referred to on the streets. We're a nonprofit organization, and our mission is really to plug the leak that exists in the tech pipeline for girls of color. And so we do this through community, helping to build community and connection between students and women in tech professionals. We have a tech training program. We run summer camps. And then we also do leadership and workforce development as well to really prepare BIPOC girls for the 21st century careers of the future.
That's awesome. But I do kind of want to dig in a little bit about kind of where the disparities are with girls in STEM professions, especially girls of color. So what are we working with? What are we solving for?
So what we kind of see right now is that between middle and high school, there's about a 50% decrease in the interest and the interest of girls in STEM and tech, as well as their engagement in STEM programs. And so we see from middle school, where it's around 60%, to high school, you have about 30%. And then by the time girls go to college, it's 4% of girls who are pursuing STEM degrees and careers. And so that's kind of what we see at the K-12 level. What we see in the workforce, so post-college, is women make up 25% of computing and technology careers, but Black women make up 3% and Hispanic or Latinx women make up 1%. So we're just seeing, again, a huge leak, right? Girls actually outperform boys in math and science in elementary school. And they also really seem to be interested and engaged in it. So there are other factors and barriers that lead to this, you know, steady and sometimes drastic, you know, leak and decline in representation of women, but specifically women of color in tech.
I'm so glad you went through and described that leak, because you know, the numbers, I mean, it's a huge leak. I mean, it's not like a drizzle.
It's like
going from 50% to 4%, yeah, which is like crazy. And then you get to the workplaces and it's even worse. So how did you get started with this? What was the motivation for you starting the organization? Obviously the numbers are enough, but what was drawing you to figure out how you can solve for this issue?
So I actually wasn't as aware of the numbers whenever I decided to, you know, really begin HYPE. I am a computer engineer. So I got my degree in computer engineering in 2006. And, you know, I found out later that at that time, around 1% of bachelor degrees that year went to Black women in engineering. And so my personal experience is a representation or reflection of what we saw in the industry. So I just really knew from personal experience that in 7 years as an engineer and in consulting on many different projects, I never had another Black woman on my team in the tech space. I never had a woman as a manager or in leadership in 7 years. And so what I experienced in my career really led to me questioning whether or not I belong there. Did I have any type of opportunity for growth or, you know, any pathway to leadership for myself? It was lonely. And so I honestly left the space due to lack of community, lack of support, lack of representation. And after I left, as I began trying to explore, figure out where do I belong, you know, what should I be doing? I came across other organizations and really began to understand the emphasis on youth and STEM that was being spoken about, you know, just kind of nationally. I found out about other organizations that supported girls in STEM and in tech, and I joined those organizations. And it was in working for those organizations that supported, you know, girls more broadly, that I began to experience how difficult it is to get Black and brown girls and girls from rural and, you know, low-income communities excited, involved, and engaged in tech. And so that's whenever I began to kind of dig deeper into why is this the case. And as I began to understand the effort and the intent and the outreach, and again, all of the reasons why Black girls and are deciding that this is not for them, wanted to start a nonprofit or an organization that addressed those things specifically, so that, you know, girls would not end up like me, you know, spending years getting the degrees, or maybe not even getting the degrees, and then leaving their tech careers. We also do see that women are leaving their tech careers early at 2 times the rate of men. And they claim some of the same reasons, you know, as I claim: lack of community, lack of support. And so, you know, I think if we can help to give girls community, it helps to build their confidence, help to connect them with women in tech who look like them, come from similar experiences and are doing amazing things. And, you know, vice versa, connect current women in tech with girls who, you know, look up to them and see them as mentors and really help to give them purpose in the work that they're doing, then we can address this leaky pipeline from both ends. And I think if we do that for long enough, then we will no longer see some of the problems that we're seeing right now.
That's incredible. And you gave us a lot of information about, you know, that knows good about the issues. So let's talk about the solutions, or one of the solutions, with your HYPE project. Tell us about it. And then most importantly, tell us how parents and students can connect with you to take advantage and participate.
So I started off by sharing that we are plugging the leak in the tech pipeline through community and connection. And that is where we start. Our organization is about more than just code. It's about more than just exposing girls to technology and, you know, giving them a skill. But that community building, the cohort model that we have with our after school program, and the connecting, the connection and connecting students with women in tech who are supporting them and really rooting for their success is the foundation of Hype's success. It's why girls stay in the program. Our after school program is 12 weeks long. It's extracurricular and they're learning coding and technology, which is not easy. And so you have to make it fun. You have to make it culturally relevant. And so our projects are culturally relevant for the students. And we have to give them a greater, you know, a purpose and sense of why they are there, why they can participate in the program. And so that's part of the reason why I do feel like Hype is successful. One other thing that I did not mention is we actually have an alumni program called the Hype International Experience. And so this is a train the trainer model, because studies show that you retain 90% of what you teach. And with this train the trainer model, we teach girls how to code in the Hype project, and then we give them an opportunity to lead a 1 week coding camp overseas. So in this way, we are helping them to grow in global awareness, civic mindedness. They are developing servant leadership skills. Their world is broadening. And so their dreams are broadening as well. And they're developing a greater confidence in their skills and what they know and what they've learned, because they're teaching other students. And I think that another reason why students stay in the Hype project is that we let them know that when you make it through, these are some of the other opportunities that are available to you: the international experience, our internship placement program. And so it's a way to kind of to help them to understand that, yes, this might be difficult, or it might take time and energy and discipline, but there is a reward on the other end. You just kind of stick it through.
Wow, that's awesome. So I love the opportunity about teaching in overseas. What Obviously, COVID has definitely hit a lot of organizations really, really hard. So thinking about, you know, travel and those experiences, and even to some extent, probably internships that are here in the States, talk to us about what impact that has had on the organization and what people listening can do to support that, or even how you all have pivoted to make sure that you can continue on those programs, or are they kind of on hiatus until things sort of get better?
So we did have to cancel two of our international experiences from 2020. So that was a disappointment for the students who, you know, some of them we'd already purchased tickets for. But we do plan on bringing them back in 2022. So that is still on the horizon. But we also had to shift the way that we reached girls and the way that we instructed them from an in-person model to a virtual model. And so this has kind of allowed us actually to reach more students. Our programs have grown because now we can be in multiple places at the same time. We can bring the Hype Project to rural communities. We found like students who are homeschooled or participate in a cyber academy or live in more rural communities have really appreciated being able to participate because they share that typically these types of opportunities only go to schools in Atlanta, you know, or students who live in the city. And so we've grown and we've been able to reach more students, but it's also caused us to think about the technology infrastructure that we need to begin investing in and putting in place so that we can continue to have a wide reach. And so that's something that we are doing now, is we're building, you know, online portals and infrastructure within our technology so that even in a post-COVID world, if that is even a thing, that we will continue to offer our programs virtually. And we will be able to continue that international exchange as well. So if we're not able to travel for any reason, we can still connect our students and have them to teach and lead a coding camp with students overseas and internationally through this kind of secure portal that we are creating for Hype.
Great.
All of that sounds incredible. And I'm sure folks are going to be interested in how they can learn more. So tell us, what's your website? How can people connect with you if they're interested in getting involved?
Yeah. So our website is gethype.org. So that's gethype.org. You can visit the website and find, you know, basically anything that you need to know about our organization. We will be opening registration for summer camps on, so we're recording this on the 26th. We'll be opening registration for summer camps on Monday, the 29th. And so if you have, you know, someone in your life who is in middle or high school and they are looking for something to get involved in this summer, we have 2-week coding camps that we will be doing. Applications open on the 29th, and then the program starts on June 14th, and they'll be running for 2 weeks. So those are ways that people can get involved. And as always, as a nonprofit, if you want to support, you can give online as well. And know that every, you know, dollar that we get does go into the program and goes into supporting the students who participate in our programs at no cost.
Fantastic. What outside of donations, which are always great for nonprofits, anything else that you know, if people are listening and they're like, hey, I have access to this, or I know someone over here, anything else that you would say as an organization that definitely has had to pivot and sort of think through and reimagine how you're delivering your services, anything else that you could say that, hey, it would be great if Hype had this, what would it be?
Yeah. So some of the things that we are really wanting to provide for our students are, you know, hotspots, you know, for Wi-Fi internet connection. Of course, if you have access to, you know, refurbished or new computers and laptops, those are great, but also headsets, you know, like we have our program, you know, virtually after school. And even when students go back into school, we will still be conducting our programs with them virtually. And we do find that any type of headset that helps to kind of cancel out the noise around them actually helps the student become more confident and more willing to speak, you know, in our sessions, go off mute, things like that. Students are and have been a little bit self-conscious about their surroundings. They have brothers and sisters talking in the background and things like that. And we are beginning to realize that if we can just send students headsets, it helps them to be more present in participating in the after-school program. So that's something that we could definitely use as well.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully someone out there listening knows someone who can get you some headsets, some hotspots, some things so that those girls can get connected and stay engaged in the program and continue to do great things. Christina, it's been great. Love the organization, what you all are doing. Give us the website address one more time.
It's www.gethype.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And congratulations to everything that you have built at Hype. Continue doing that and helping us to get our girls of the future ready for the tech world.
Thank you.